Good morning.
Morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Thank you, Jeff, for your song. It was beautiful. Let me ask you a question. What did you hear as the scripture was read this morning? Did you hear anything? Or very little at all? Looking out, I don't see many people that heard a lot. Maybe, just maybe, this message is just the thing you need to hear. Or maybe not. Maybe you don't need to listen at all. But I'm going to repeat the scripture reading because I thought it was very valuable. And I took it out of the Message Bible because I don't use that often, but I like the way it put the words. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener, our God, landscape you with the Word, making a salvation garden in your life. Let God landscape you into making a salvation garden. So it reminds you of the old victory gardens, for some of us who are that old, of World War II. Don't fool yourself into thinking you are a listener when you are anything but letting one word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, 2 minutes later, have no idea who they are and what they look like. You look in the mirror every day. I know for some of you ladies, you look and very cautiously look at every little wrinkle and every little piece and how your hair is done. You know, I personally look in the mirror. I walk away. I don't know what I saw. I know, I shaved, you know, I know that much, you know. But I didn't really know. But whoever catches a glimpse of God, of the real revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. So let me ask the question again. What did you hear as the scripture was read? Did you hear anything or very little at all? Again, maybe this message is just the thing you need. And hopefully, or maybe not. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be your vessel to present your word. And Father, I invite you to guide and direct us as we listen to the message, to open our minds, our hearts, and our ears, that this message may resound in the listeners whom you would direct it to. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever thought that God gets frustrated with you? I'm going to give you a couple minutes to digest that. and think about what your answer would be to that question. The answer is not a simple yes or a simple no. I know when I was raising my children, and even today, I get frustrated. I say, don't you know better? Weren't you taught? What is going on with you? Don't you think God thinks that of us? Because no matter how you answer the question, I can't emphasize enough the importance, the implication, the consequences, the results, and the cause and effect of your answer. Because it is so far deeper theologically, spiritually, and personally, that we don't have time to get into it during the few minutes that we have together. But it can define your relationship with God. It can define that relationship. Are you convinced that God has a plan for each of us? I know I am. Are you being influenced by God's roadmap? Are you being transformed to His purposes? Are you being guided by His direction in your life? Are you? He puts up signs to direct us. Not little tiny signs, but huge billboards. I believe He uses loud bullhorns so we can hear His voice. I believe He shakes the earth and the sky to make clear the direction and guidance He wants us to go. He makes His word clear and where He wants us to go and follow. He makes His message plain and very simple. We hear stories from all around the world today, don't we? Of cultural cleansing, wars, famines, and tragedies. Christian persecutions are on the rise. The Ebola pandemic. Ever-admitting crisis. ISIS, and what have you, moral decline, spiritualism, salvation via Oprah, natural disasters, and poverties. Can't you hear them? Can't you see the signs? The signs are all around us saying, danger, danger. Help, help. Pray, pray. Don't get me wrong. You should still listen for that still small voice. But don't you see the billboards? See nature's signs? And hear the bullhorns all around us today? Can't you hear them? Unlike our human voices and hearing, which can be fuzzy and distorted, God's voice can be heard clearly and precisely if you only listen. The message God gave to His followers 1,000 years ago is still the message He gives to each of us today. So today, we're going to talk about converting us, that's all of you and me, hearers of the word to doers of the word. Matthew 8, 1 through 4 reads, Jesus came down the mountain from the cheers of the with the cheers of the crowd still ringing in His ears. Then a leper appeared and went to his knees before Jesus, praying, Master, if you want to, you can heal my body. Jesus reached out and touched him, saying, I want to. Amen. Be clean. Then and there, all the signs of leprosy were gone. Jesus said, don't talk about this all over town. Just quietly present your healed body to the priest, along with the appropriate expressions of thanks to God. Your cleansed and grateful life, not your words, will bear witness to what I have done. I love these stories of Jesus' healing. They show us His great love. They show us His unselfishness and His selflessness of Jesus. There was no cure for this poor man with his disease of leprosy. In fact, he was banished from his home, his city, his life. But our Lord, Jesus literally gave him his hand. A life-changing hand. Boy, isn't that what we want? To be given a life-changing hand?
Amen.
Sin is also a terrible disease, isn't it? It destroys our home, our community, and who we are, and how we relate to others. But all we need is that life-changing hand. As we minister to people around us today, we must be ready and motivated to give selflessly of ourselves. We talked a lot about that this morning in our Sabbath school lesson. How many times does Jesus teach us and try to teach us not to think of our own desires, but to think of the needs of others? How often does he do that in his word? Paul Harvey relayed a story about a man named Ray Blankenship. One morning, as Ray was preparing his breakfast, he heard a terrified cry of a little girl. He looked out his window and he saw this little girl being swept away by a swollen drainage ditch beside his Andover, Ohio home. Blankenship knew further downstream, the ditch disappeared under the road into a tunnel and emptied into the main storm drain. Ray dashed out his door, raced along the ditch, trying to get ahead of the sinking girl. Then he jumped into the deep water, the churning water, and Blankenship's surface was unable to grab that little girl's hand. Only a few feet from the culvert, Ray's free hand felt something, possibly a submerged tree limb. He clung to it desperately. But the tremendous force of the water was trying to rip the little girl and rip his arm from that tree. If only he could hang on, just hang on until help comes, he thought. If only he could just hang on. But he did better than that. By the time the fire department got there and the rescuers arrived, Blankenship had pulled that little girl out of the creek along with himself. And on April 12, 1989, Ray Blankenship was awarded the Coast Guard Silver Lifesaving Medal. This award was very befitting to him, for this selfless person was at even greater risk to himself because Ray Blankenship could not swim. And now you know the rest of the story as Paul Harvey would end his messages. Hearing God will challenge our comfort zone. Hearing God will comfort our challenging, our comfort zone. Ray could have said, hey, I don't want to get wet this morning. I don't want to ruin my breakfast. I don't want to risk my life. But God's voice was unmistakable. When Ray heard the terrified cries, the little girl looked out and saw what the little girl was drowning in the water. There is no way that anyone could misunderstand what had to be done. Ray had to go out. When Jesus came along with a large crowd of people all around him, and suddenly a man with leprosy is kneeling and worshiping before him, the crowd would say, stand back. He's unclean. Don't touch him. You are risking your own life. But this man looked up to the Lord and said, Jesus, if you want to, you can make me well again. And Jesus touched him. And he said, I want to be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, go right over to the priest and let him examine you. Don't talk to anyone along the way. No doubt there would be skeptics in the crowd. People would say, I've never heard it done this way before. Do you know what the last words of a dying church are? Do you? We have never done it that way before. We're not going to change. The world I lived in as a teenager has changed. The world you, your children, and grandchildren live in is way different today than when you were growing up. The church has to change, or we'll just fade away. And you know what? I would rather be part of a church that's screaming and kicking all the way than be of a church that is dying on grace.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but we need to be kicking and screaming. Then Jesus said, take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy, so everyone will have proof of your healing. The offering was an offering of praise and thanks for the miracle of healing that was done. I would be embarrassed to reach out with a soft, uncalloused hand, a hand which had never been dirtied or sullied by serving. Reach out and touch the nail-pierced hand of Jesus. What about you? What about you? Could you do that unabashed, not embarrassed? I couldn't. I'd be like that leper, falling on my knees. Please heal me. Please clean me. I couldn't do it. Does the voice of God challenge us enough to change us? Does the word and message of God cause us want to do something? Are you living in a comfort zone, your own comfort zone? Or are you living in God's zone? Doing what God says is one thing, but getting others to follow is even harder. Titus 2:14 reads, he offered himself as a sacrifice to free us from a dark, rebellious life into this good life, good, pure life, making us people he can be proud of, energetic in goodness. And 1 Corinthians 1:18 reads, the message that points to Christ on the cross seems like sheer silliness to those who are hell-bent on destruction. But for those on the way of salvation, it makes perfect sense. There are two things I want you to get from these verses. First, Christians are not called to be normal people. We are called to be strange, weird, abnormal. We're not supposed to fit into this world. Christ died for us to redeem us, to rescue us, to save us from our sins, to make us holy and to draw us out as a peculiar people. Calls us out to be priests, doesn't he?
Amen.
Jesus came to pull us out of this drowning waters, to pull us out of the world of sin. We are to be a people zealous of good works, as we talked about this morning. Adamant, firm, on fire, unstoppable. He does not want us to fit in. He doesn't want us to be normal in the eyes of this world. He doesn't want us to embrace human passions and be controlled by normal ways of thinking. Instead, ours must be a voice of radical hospitality, where no one is treated like a stranger. Even our enemies are welcomed at our table. He wants us to be extremely generous, where faith dictates our finances instead of a balance sheet on a checkbook, where we outgive what we have and trust in God to provide for the rest. He wants passionate worship, where we are obsessed with loving God and we are fanatical in our praise to him, where we are intoxicated by the Holy Spirit on the new wine of Jesus. God doesn't want us to be normal and of this world. For most normal people, becoming God's peculiar people is one thing, but getting others to follow is even harder. Christians are not called normal people. We are called to be purified in Christ through the cross, a peculiar people, zealous, enthusiastic, passionate about being doers of good works.
Amen.
That brings me to the second thing I want you to learn from the two verses. 1 Corinthians 1:18, and I'll repeat it, the message that points to Christ on the cross seems like sheer silliness to those who are hell-bent on destruction. But for those who are on the way to salvation, it makes perfect sense. Christians are called to the cross, and the cross seems like foolishness to those who will not embrace it. But to us, whom are saved, it is the power of God. And this is the way God works. And as it turns out, it's very, very powerful. A church in Florida that sponsored a week of champions invited Christian athletes from all over the country to come and give their testimonies. One of the athletes was Paul Anderson, the strongest man in the world. And his testimony was, if the strongest man in the world needs Jesus, so do you. A few weeks later, a young man came back and asked the pastor and told him of his decision for accepting Christ. The young man explained that he was there on that night when Paul Anderson gave his testimony. Out of curiosity, the pastor asked, well, what did Mr. Anderson say that convinced you that you needed to be need for Christ? The young man answered, I don't remember what Paul Anderson said. What touched me, though, was a paraplegic being wheeled up in his wheelchair to the altar to accept Jesus Christ. And he said, I said to myself, if God could do something for him in his weaknesses, then surely he could do something for me in my strength.
Amen.
I'm not the strongest person in the world, not like Paul Anderson, nor am I the weakest person that I know either. Like each of you, we're somewhere in between, aren't we? Not the strongest, not the weakest, but somewhere in between. If God can use a paraplegic in his weakness to lead others to Christ, God certainly can use us to lead people to Christ. You can hear the best message you've ever heard in your life, but if you don't do something, if you don't come to the altar and give your life to Jesus, you will leave lost, unsaved, and bound for destruction. You can hear the most meaningful words of a song, but unless you let those words redefine your life, unless the music causes you to make changes and do something, you will leave here unaffected, cold-hearted, unmoved to tear, unmoved to joy. You'll just leave unaffected. You can hear the most powerful prayers ever prayed, but if you don't testify when you leave here to what you've heard and sung and experienced, then nothing has changed in your heart. Nothing has changed. You have to listen and let God break your heart. You have to listen and let him break your heart. Let God become stronger than your strength and greater than your weakness. Let God hug you. Let God hold you in his arms. How you let God convert you from a hearer into a doer is not by squeezing harder onto his hand, but by letting go of your grip. Letting go of your grip. Instead of clenching and hanging on so tight to who you are, and what you have, turn it all over to Him. You must turn over your life, your family, your job, your entertainment, your joy, and yes, you also must turn over your church to Him. Getting others to follow God is even harder, because normal people just don't do it that way. Because only the foolish people who kneel at the cross, which is a symbol of death, expecting eternal life. Only foolish people kneel at that cross, expecting eternal life. In the marketing book, Brandwashed, not brainwashed, but brandwashed, by Martin Lindstrom, he says it only takes persuading 5% of the people to influence a crowd. If that is true, how many people in this church do we have to convince to cooperate and work with each other to make real changes in the way that we do church and present the gospel? How many people do we have to convince? Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. That's what James says in 1:22. It's easy. It's easy to get discouraged and give up on God. I also know that when we're moving in the wrong direction, the direction that is away from God, there's no peace. No peace at all. I know, I've been there, guys. There's no contentment in life. There was none in mine. Until you are moving in the right direction. The direction that God wants you to follow. In the Bible, it's clear that when people were disobedient to God, they always suffered consequences, didn't they? The most frightening thing I can think of that could ever happen to me and to you is to hear and feel God and His Holy Spirit leading us. But instead of listening to God and doing what we know He's calling us to do, we just ignore the billboards, we tune out the loudspeakers, and we shove the feelings that we're having to the side. Do you see? Do you hear? Do you feel? Do you know what God wants you to do? But more importantly, are you willing to do it? Are you willing? There is healing for you. There is comfort for your loss. There is help in your brokenness. But it all starts converting us, you and I, from hearers into doers. I invite you to make that decision today, the decision to take up what you've heard, what you feel, and turn it into actions, actions of repentance, and become doers of good works. Will you make that commitment of service today with me? Will you make that commitment? No hands are raised, so I guess nobody's going to make a commitment. Anyway, I'll get back to it. Hearers and doers. Either you want to and you're willing to do it, or to be very honest, you might as well walk out the door and say, hey, I was here. I took up his chair on Sabbath. It's your choice. It's not my choice. It's your choice. So again, what do you want?